Welcome to the WP Dev Table, Episode 8. WP Dev Table is a hangout with developers in a loose roundtable-like discussion about tools and best practices. We give out tips and, of course, WordPress. Feel free to subscribe to us on YouTube, subscribe via iTunes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, you know, the whole drill. If you want to get email updates about us, just go to wpdevtable.com/subscribe and you'll know about the upcoming shows. You'll get reviews on, you know, past shows, that kind of deal. So today I want to welcome Patrick. He's part of the dev team at WooCommerce. He's also developed more than a few add-ons for Ninja Forms. And obviously spoken at several WordCamps. I guess, Patrick, why don't you give a little bit more of an in-depth intro to yourself?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. So I am the WooCommerce product manager. So I work with the dev team to kind of plan all the features for what's coming down the road for WooCommerce. So that's the vast majority of what I do now.
Nice. Great. So then if I work on a daily basis with WooCommerce, so I just go straight to you now.
Right. You can just skip the whole, yeah.
That's awesome. So today we're going to talk about basically how you go about planning features, how features kind of get into plugins. You know, Patrick's going to give us a little bit of insight, hopefully, how WooCommerce decides this, and just kind of go a little bit more in depth in, you know, not, I guess, so much from my point of view, it's getting to market, getting it out there, because you can always keep on developing new features and never get anything out there. So we'll probably dive a little bit more into that. I also want to open up the quote-unquote phone lines, I guess. If you have any questions for us, use the hashtag AskWPDevs on Twitter, and we'll get your question. And so, Patrick, what's it like working on WooCommerce? I mean, like, how many? I mean, I'm in the repository on GitHub and stuff like that. I mean, how does all of that kind of flow together? I mean, there's tons of developers that obviously have access to this repository.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, WooCommerce is a free open source plugin for those of you who don't know. And I think right now, I think we just hit 300 contributors about 2 days ago. 10,000 commits, so like it's a big project. There's lots of feedback, lots of stuff going on. Right now, the way we have the team set up, WooCommerce is built by WooThemes, and right now the way we have the team set up is we have a WooCommerce dev team. So we have a separate dev team that just does WooCommerce and WooCommerce extensions, and that's about three full-time devs, myself, and a designer. And basically all the WooCommerce stuff comes from that core team of people.
Oh, okay. Seems like such a kind of a small team for all of that work.
It is. There, I think we have, boy, probably just under 300 extensions, maybe a little bit more. So, I mean, that's a lot. Yeah. We have worked with partners to develop some of them, but we've built a huge number of them ourselves. We are looking at scaling up. So, you know, it's hard to find those WordPress rock stars, but as soon as we find a few more, I'm sure we'll scale up a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure the WooConf helped out with at least branching out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, we just had our first ever WooCommerce conference. We sold out with 320 people, something like that. But it was really great.
Yeah, I was out there, and it was my first, I guess, non-WordCamp WordPress conference. Mm-hmm. So it was a great experience, great conference. I'm looking forward to next year's for sure.
Oh, that's great to hear. I'm going to take you off track just a little bit. Who is your favorite speaker at WooConf?
I did like the Brent Shepard and you know Max Rice, those guys. That was a good session. Mm-hmm. Chris Lemma always is a great speaker to hear.
Amazing.
So I would probably say those two. I mean, obviously the running punchline was the add arrows to buttons kind of deal. So that was kind of comical.
Yeah, that was good.
So I guess back to the repository. I mean, how many, if such a small team, I mean, there's got to be, you know, this with the issues and pull requests and everything else. I mean, how do you guys get through that every day? I mean, how many do you process every day? Or,
you know, I don't know the exact number of issues we get a day, but it's gotta be a couple issues a day. I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's gotta be a few issues a day. We typically basically have one guy who basically does the vast majority of all the issues. I'm sorry, my dog is trying to break a hole through the wall. he does a lot of the issues. Mike Jolly, he's the lead developer. He does a lot of all the small stuff, and then we plan out all the big features and then kind of, you know, assign out the big features to various people. So we're just about to launch WooCommerce 2.3, which is Handsome Hippo, which is a UI, UX refresh. Mm-hmm. And that was obviously, you know, we planned out the features we needed, and then handed them off to the designer and he did all of the UI UX stuff. I did some of the email refactoring in that release, and then Barry's been doing a whole bunch of the unit tests. I mean, so we've kind of shelled out different components to different people, but. As far as commit access, I think only the core WooCommerce dev team and whoever set up the GitHub repo have access.
Yeah. How do you prioritize, like, I guess with it's such a big project, how do you prioritize, like, the issues that are being worked on? I mean, does Mike Jolly do that, or do you do that? And how does one issue get higher than the other?
Yeah, that's actually an awesome question, and it's, by the way, it's changing like every day the way we handle that. So if it's a small technical issue like a typo or add a filter here, or if it's something that's really easy to do, doesn't add a lot of code bloat, he just does it, right? But if it's a big feature like so WooCommerce allows you to ship products. So if someone said, "Hey, I want to add shipping zones to WooCommerce," that totally changes the way shipping works. And even though it's a great feature, we want to make sure that everyone wants that before building it. So right now the way we do it is we put it on our ideas board and people can vote for it. So there's an ideas board with, I think there's a total of 2,000 ideas for all of WooCommerce, all of WooThemes products. So themes and plugins and WooCommerce extensions. And then some of those are just WooCommerce features. And if they get enough votes, we'll throw them in.
So now, like, I'm assuming when you say board, you're using something like Trello or something like that.
So for our ideas board, this is unbelievable. For our ideas board, we use user voice, and they have a nice voting mechanism built in. And it's Trello's great, and we use that for a lot of other things, which we can get into later. But the ideas board is really good because users just say, "I want, you know, a featured image in WooCommerce, whatever," and they just type in featured image, and all the ideas come up, and they press vote.
Gotcha.
The other thing that allows us to do is, as the product manager, I can reach out to all the people. I can send an email to all the people who voted for it and ask them for clarification. So with 2.4, we're thinking about adding multi-site support to WooCommerce, but that's a very vague term, right? Like, what does that mean? And after reaching out to people, I found out some people wanted a shared cart across all the multi-sites. Some people want one order interface. Some people wanted inventory syncing between sites, but totally separate orders. So, like, the ideas board is really useful for us to get feedback on what we're doing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess that kind of leads me into the first question from using hashtags WPDevs. Kyle Maurer asks, what are some strategies for validating potential features you might think might be valuable to the users? And I guess that ideas board helps you in doing that, correct?
Totally. We do also have a Trello board. We're probably all going to merge it into the ideas board at some point, but you can have voting on Trello cards. So if you have features that you want to do, throw them up on a Trello board, have people vote for them. I don't think they can do anything else other than vote for them. And then you can, you know, when you have enough votes, then move it along. So that's a really good way to validate your ideas. Mm. And then I've just been doing a ton of user research. So I've probably done like 10 surveys in the last 2-3 weeks, just sending them out on Twitter or to the people who subscribe to the ideas board, or just getting feedback from people.
Cool. So, I mean, I was saying, I alluded to earlier, is I use WooCommerce on a daily basis. A lot of my clients use it. Major client of mine has, you know, multiple sites running WooCommerce and stuff. And there's been situations where gone to the support forums and kind of get to a certain point, and then they kind of direct you over to the repository and create issues there. Is that kind of like the workflow? Like, is there like a frontline defense from the support forums, and then it goes over into like the dev area?
So it's a little bit different if you have a WooThemes product or if you don't have a WooThemes product. So if you have a WooThemes product, it's really, really easy. You just submit a ticket and you say, hey, this isn't working. And the support team will say, oh, this is totally a bug. I tested on my system and it doesn't work. I'll forward it to the dev team, or, you know, I'll take care of it. Or they'll tell you, actually, it was a setting that you forgot to tick. Don't forget to tick this setting. If you're not a paying customer, I shouldn't say that. If you don't have a WooThemes product, then you can go to the WordPress.org support forums and talk to people there. We also have the community. Is it called the community forum on our site, which is similar, but we don't respond to those. Like, there's just, you know, like 20 or 30 come in a day, and we just can't respond to every single thread, and also, you know, reply to threads that are days old. Yeah. So we don't monitor it, but if you're a developer and you have a confirmed bug, just go to GitHub, tell us what it is, and give us the reproducible steps.
Yeah. I mean, that after the first time I went through the, you know, the WooThemes support forum, and they kind of got to a point where they said, you know, go over to the repository. That's kind of where I go to now. I don't even bother with with the support forums, but, you know, I can see.
Yeah, and there's plenty of, and I think that's what developers, once you've worked with WooCommerce a little bit, once you understand how it works, that is exactly what you should do. Is you're a developer, you know how to prove that there's a bug to yourself, you do it, and then, if, you know, let us know that there's a problem.
Yeah. So I guess one big thing, I know like WordPress has a certain number of releases that they want to hit per year. Does WooCommerce go for the same type of release schedule or anything?
Great question. So we actually want to do 3 releases. I would love to get us to do 3 releases a year.
Nice. And then that's 3 major releases.
So definitely not including bug fixes or anything like that. 3 major releases. So, but in the last year, we only did 2. So we did 2.... I'm getting the numbers mixed up now. The last release we did was 2.2, and that was refunds. So like one-click refunds from your order management screen. Mm-hmm. And then the one before that, I'm totally blanking on, but was also, we added the REST API. Yeah. So we added the REST API to WooCommerce. So I think that was 2.1. So we only did 2 releases this year. We probably would have done 3 this year, but with e-commerce software, we missed the deadline, and now we're in that Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday season window, and you just, as e-commerce software, you just can't push out any giant changes at that point. So we're probably going to release early January with our next big release.
So maybe you get 4 next year.
Maybe get 4, yeah. That's something I need to push for.
So I guess with the number of releases and stuff, are you the one that really filters out those features?
So this is actually a new position. It used to be the head of product at WooThemes. So he did Sensei stuff. He did all of our themes. He did all of that stuff, and he worked with Mike Jolly, the lead developer, to figure out what features went in. That was how it used to be done. This position was created like 2 months ago, something like that. And now that is kind of my role, but it's not like a dictatorship. It's more of a, hey guys, I've done some research, here's what the research says, you know, which of these options sounds best, let's build it.
Cool. Now, do you have like a, like 37 Signals always talked about like a feature battle where they kind of just wait, like I know you said you had the ideas board and it votes up, but obviously, you know, if they got, you know, 10 features that all have the same vote level, like where does the decision come saying, okay, we want feature A, B, and C, and we'll hold off on E, D, and F for the next release?
Yeah, no, we definitely do that. A lot of that is like a gray area, right? First of all, there are some features that no matter how many votes they get, I don't think we'll put it in WooCommerce Core. So I'm glad you brought up 37 Signals. Basecamp now. I'm a huge fan of them. And one of the things that I read in one of their blog posts was, you know, their power users were asking for more features. You know, they loved HiRISE. They used it for years. Not HiRISE, Basecamp. Used it for years. They wanted more features. And Basecamp said, no, like, we're not going to add these crazy complex power features because it kills the product for everyone else. So there are certain features that I'm never going to add to WooCommerce if it makes the user experience worse for the entry-level user. Mm-hmm. So that's like that immediately like gets rid of a lot of feature requests that people have. If people really do want that stuff, we'll put it in an extension. As I said before, like, have you ever used table rate shipping?
Yes.
I mean, that is a really powerful extension. You can do crazy stuff with different shipping zones and different amounts and by weight, by items, by price, but that should never go in WooCommerce Core because the average user would just give up. So that's why we have flat rate shipping in Core, which is simple, and if you need the crazy extra options, table rate shipping.
Gotcha. So basically, you're trying to keep Core at a level that it's a kind of like a low barrier to entry, and then somebody needs more of the complex stuff, you direct them to the extensions.
Yeah, and that's not to say something complex would never go in. You know, something I'm thinking about way down the line is going to be like really, really, really revamping our reports section in WooCommerce so that you can kind of build your own report. So I want to check how many products are sold in this month versus this month last year, kind of like Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. That might be added, but that's also really intuitive, right? I mean, that... So yeah, it's hard to say. Something like that might go in Core, but table rate shipping, not going to go in.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good tip for anybody that's doing any sort of plugin development. Kind of have like your, I don't know if it's a mission statement, but you know, you have your target audience for the mm-hmm. plugin itself, and then there's always going to be people saying, I want to have this, I want to have that, and it's always, more often than not, unique to what they need, but yep. not to the mass target audience of what you're doing. And that's why, you know, you do it the WordPress way, you can build in hooks and things like that to your plugin that maybe somebody else might want to write that kind of thing.
So totally. That is absolutely the way forward.
Because, I mean, I guess that's also the reason why, like, you know, I mean, at WooConf, they had some of those awesome statistics of, like, you know, that, you know, WooCommerce had, you know, 5 million downloads or, yeah. And then that, like, you know, that they're now the number one e-commerce platform that's out there. You know, they passed Magento and things like that. So, I mean, obviously, you know, that core needs to still be very, very solid. I mean, that goes along with what you were saying before. You can't release an update during Thanksgiving time. Nobody's going to update, mm-hmm. update during the holidays. They don't want their money to be stopped. So,
right. Yeah. If you go to, so I love the stats that you just brought up. I think it's builtwith.com/e-commerce, and you can see their stats. And it's a really cool chart. If you look at, like, I think you might need an account. But you can look at like the last 2 years of WooCommerce, or last 3 years now, and it goes from like nothing, almost nothing, and you just see the line go all the way up and all the way up and to the right, which is always good in graphs.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, that goes along with, like, I think that just goes along with the growth that WordPress has had. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, just the rise of what WordPress has become over the past several years for flexibility and all that other stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, WooCommerce is just right on the tail of that. So, I mean, obviously.
Definitely. Yeah, obviously as WordPress continues to grow, I mean, I feel like we're the default e-commerce choice for most developers, right? I mean, you want to have a site? Great. Most likely WooCommerce, unless there's some crazy edge case, most likely WooCommerce. So as WordPress grows, we're going to grow, which is a good position to be in.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I know when I started WordPress and somebody won an e-commerce store for their website, it was like always like it was kind of like a really like even thing, like, you know, you could either go with WP Commerce or there was another one at the time and WooCommerce, and I was just like, all right, well, I tried them all, mm-hmm. and then it was just I stuck with WooCommerce mainly because it was always growing. There was always new things coming, you know, new extensions coming out.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I was like, all right, you know, this is easier to work with from a developer standpoint as well. I mean, it was nice that, you know, they were adding features for the end user, but it was great from a developer's perspective, especially like you were saying earlier about the REST API. I mean, that's opening huge doors with one of my clients. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think the other thing is that you, like, when you're building an e-commerce site, like, you're investing thousands of dollars. Like, if you're paying an agency to build it for you, you're investing thousands of dollars for this agency to build you a custom site. And once you've invested that money, you don't want the e-commerce platform to disappear. So, like, having the brand of WooThemes behind WooCommerce is huge, right? Because it's not going to disappear tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, that's a huge help, too, the fact that, like you said, you know, you have that backing there. So once a feature is picked, then what happens? You guys assign it out, like you were saying earlier?
Yeah, so once we've kind of said, this is something we want to investigate, I do all the research. So I just did a whole bunch of research on POS systems and if we're going to integrate with Square, which is entirely possible. I did a whole bunch of research. I'm probably going to finish writing a technical specification, like an overall document about what we're going to do, and then I'm going to hand it off to Mike Jolly, and then he'll figure out kind of who should work on it depending on whose workload and stuff like that, and then I'll probably continue working with whoever's taking on that project.
So when you guys have a release, you guys say that, I mean, you kind of seem like you have one major feature add to each release. Is that on purpose, or it's just a matter of just that's what filters up to the top?
You know, it's on purpose, and the reason that we have kind of one major feature per release is because if you try to do any more, you'll never release something. And I feel like once you've gotten to the scale we've gotten to, where we're on less, I think 380,000 sites, like, you cannot break a single thing. Like, everything has to be backwards compatible. You need to take your time building every little feature to make sure that nothing breaks going forward. So we take that time and we release one major feature at a time, and there's tons of little changes, tons of little things all over the place. But one major feature, like in this case, the 2.3 is going to be the UI UX stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I figured once you do like the REST API, that's going to alienate all the end users. Now you got to give them something.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys, I mean, we talk a lot about tools and processes and, you know, workflows on the show. What tools would you guys use on a daily basis? I mean, I've used Pivotal Tracker myself. I've seen Sprintly. Do you guys do those? You use those kind of tools?
Yeah, we do use those kind of tools. Hold on a second.
All right, no problem.
All right, good. It's like he's like the rebellious child that's purpose. He knows I'm on a phone call, so he barks.
What's his name? What's his name?
Well, his name is Miko. He's a German Spitz, so he's like a bigger Pomeranian.
Oh, all right.
But he likes to bark. All right. I'm sorry. What tools do we use? That was the question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, we use a lot of Trello boards. So we have, I have my own Trello board, which is just for me to document, here's this idea, here's the research, here's talking to customers. And then one of the cool features I don't think people realize is you can move a Trello card from one board to another. Mm-hmm. So I then move my card to like an overall WooThemes planning board, which kind of has this extension is coming out in quarter one, this one's coming out in quarter two, that type of stuff. So we use Trello boards for all sorts of stuff. We use GitHub, obviously. We don't really use Pivotal Tracker, Sprintly, something like that. But I think that's coming down the road. I think as we scale up, we're going to have to get a better idea of how much time people can dedicate to certain projects and certain features. And I think Pivotal Tracker is a perfect example of a tool that allows you to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we scale up, we're going to need to move in towards some of those.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, with a release schedule, you kind of have to know how long something is going to take someone to do. How do you estimate that now?
Well, embarrassingly enough, we just go, how long does this take you, buddy? Oh, a week? All right. So it's going to be a week. And then, of course, it's not a week, and it's like 3 weeks, and you're like, ugh. But, we need, I would love, I think part of my job as we evolve this process is to break down a project into features and then put points values for each feature and then track how long it takes us to figure out different, you know, how long it takes us to build a certain feature versus so many points, right? We've looked into stuff like that. We'll probably find something eventually that works for us.
Hmm. That's cool. All right, so when you guys obviously have unit testing. What kind of, I guess, two-part question. Now, unit tests are obviously required for WooCommerce Core. For extensions, do you guys kind of require that as well?
So so unit tests are actually new. We've been pushing for unit tests forever, and it took us, I think, until this release to actually start adding them in. Like every week, one of our guys, Barry, he is adding in more unit tests. So we're still new at this, and there's a huge code base. We're only at 20% coverage right now, which you know covers some pretty basic stuff, but we'd obviously love to get it higher, right?
Right.
We don't even require unit tests for new stuff. Oh. Probably after this release, we'll be more strict about that and look into unit tests a little bit more seriously so that when Barry adds a new feature, everything is unit tested. But we're not quite there yet. I think we want to push through 2.3 first and then be a little bit more strict about that.
Gotcha. So you guys aren't writing the tests beforehand. Like, you know, you guys aren't doing any of that right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, unit tests was not something we started from the beginning, and it took us like a year and a half or 2 years to get going. And now we're adding them retroactively, which means you have to tweak your code a little bit, which is annoying. It takes time. In retrospect, always build your unit tests first, whoever's listening. It'll save you a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, I came from the Rails world, so unit tests was obviously, you know, pretty heavy over there. And then when I came, you know, kind of moved away from Rails development, I still have Rails clients, but now I'd say probably about 80%, 90% of my clients are WordPress-based. Now it's funny because I'm hearing about unit tests a lot more. I mean, mm-hmm. It kind of came to the surface over the past year, but it's just like now everybody's getting in. I'm like, this is not new. You know,
right.
It's something that you should have been doing. I mean, myself, I mean, I don't claim to know anything, you know, about, you know, that kind of, you know, process flow. I mean, I've taken shortcuts too. You know, you just,
yeah.
Right, somebody wants this, I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to bother writing a unit test for it. But in the end, like you said, you pay for it. So.
Oh, definitely. And with e-commerce, so like my least favorite bugs are like tax bugs. So one person in Australia, when he buys a cup that's $9.99 and it's shipped to Europe, then the tax is off by 1 cent. You're like, how do I figure this out? Like, you need unit tests for those crazy rounding 0.01 errors. That is, so for e-commerce, you, oh my God, you need it.
Yes, for sure. I mean, the client that I have that I do, it's a daily retainer. I'm always online with them. I mean, they have multiple sites running WooCommerce and subscriptions and a whole bunch of other plugins. I mean, every time it comes down to a tax or shipping rounding or coupon rounding, or, you know, if you have a coupon that's 30% off, forget it. You're going to have threes coming out everywhere, and it's just it's just a big headache. I mean, just to try to replicate that over and over and over again, it's just like, oh, I got to write the unit test for this.
Yeah, totally hear you. Even over my dog, I hear you.
Who wants to get in on this? So what sort of workflow is there when someone, I guess, when you're pulling a new feature back into the master? So if somebody, you know, you start on a new feature, is it Mike Jolly that decides, okay, this is good, this is tested, or is there a team of, like, you guys have QA people that do all this?
You know, we don't have QA people, so it kind of depends on how people, different people work, right? So we're actually adding in some opt-in tracking. Oh my God. In WooCommerce 2.3, and that's something that someone else already built. I'm about to murder my dog. I hope that I'm. Can I do this on air? Can I do that? Is that illegal?
It's live.
It's live. All right.
You're coming to my house.
I'll just keep petting him for the rest of the episode. So, we're adding in some opt-in tracking, which is something someone else already built. So, like, he's just going to do it in his own branch or in his own fork, I should say. Do all the stuff and then submit a pull request, and Mike Jolly will merge it into master. Anyone could merge it into master, anyone who's on the dev team. Our master branch is basically our develop branch, which is a little bit counterintuitive for people who are just getting into Git and GitHub. Mm-hmm. We don't use the standard Git flow model where, you know, you have a develop branch and different features. Everything will just get merged into master, and then we'll release master whenever it's done, whenever all the features are in.
So you'll actually create a release branch when the new release comes out.
We don't create a release branch. Everything is done in master. The only stuff that we keep separate branches for are for, like, bug fixes on the old release. So we still have, here, let me double check to make sure I'm not going crazy. So we still have a 2.2 branch, and that branch is what we use for all of the old, like, just the minor fixes that go into 2.2.8, right? Mm-hmm. But our master is basically our develop branch.
Oh, okay.
It's funny, though. I forget why we did that. I know we actually use Git flow for every other repo out there. I think we do it because people are always confused about, why isn't this, you know, this GitHub issue is closed. Why isn't this feature in there? Oh, it's in the develop branch. Like, it's a little bit hard for users who aren't really used to GitHub. I think that's why we did it. I can't be sure. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I know when I was working on a project, and they were talking about going, you know, taking the REST API, and it was kind of it was before you guys had fully released that, and they said, well, you could just use the patch, you know, you can use, you know, the create order object from the REST API, just pull it from master. And I was like, what? Oh, okay. Sure. I mean, they're telling me where to pull it from, so. Mm-hmm. So with your own plugins, I guess, what's the big difference between working with WooCommerce and working with NinjaForms?
So the big difference is, I hope they don't get offended about this, but like e-commerce is very, very precise. Like you have, you know what I mean? Like you have to make sure that things aren't rounded off the wrong way. You have to be very particular about it. And processing form submissions is a little bit easier, right? It's not as detail-oriented, I'd say. So like building a little integration to connect your Ninja form to MailChimp, which is not one of the ones that I did, that's one someone else did, but like that's, you know, that's fun. You're like, oh, I want to look at the MailChimp API, and I'll build a plugin while I do it. So I, like my favorite NinjaForms plugin is my PDF plugin, because I always wanted to know how to create PDFs, like dynamically with dynamic content. So I said, all right, I'm going to figure out how to do this, and then I'm going to sell it through their site.
Nice. So then it's, I guess, a little bit more flexible than with regards to that. You know, like you can pretty much pivot on whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit more flexible. And it's, well, the nice thing about NinjaForms is there's probably like 30 extensions, whereas WooCommerce is 300. So there's plenty of room for you to, there's plenty of ideas for you to build on, right? You can do a million different things. So yeah, you could do a lot with it.
Yeah. I mean, NinjaForms, their extension library is starting to get really big too. I mean, that's, you know, they're growing.
They are definitely growing, yep. I know one of the extension developers has like, I think he has like all of the CRMs. Basically, he has like all of them. But he like figured out how to do one, and he built another, and built another, and built another, and people keep asking for new ones, and he just keeps building them.
So how do you with your add-ons already, do you take the same approach for adding features into those add-ons that you do with WooCommerce, or is it a different sort of approach now that you're kind of just working on your own?
You know, it's a little bit different approach. I mean, so the nice thing about WooThemes is we have a huge, like, we have that ideas board, and our multi-site idea had like 200 people subscribed to that idea. So when I sent out a poll, like 100 people responded. If I sent out a NinjaForms poll, like one person would respond. So you can't quite do the same stuff. But so my PDF plugin has sold over 100 times, like 120 or something like that. And the nice thing is when I see a feature request now come in, I'm like, okay, well, this is less than 1%. Like one person has asked for this out of the 120 purchases. Sorry. You know, or you know, let me put on the roadmap, and if other people ask for it, I'll think about it. But I am so, I just hate how people keep adding features and features and features and features and features until the UI gets unusable. And I'd rather have a product that works for 95% of people than a product that works for 99% that's harder to use.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So you, how much, with all the WooCommerce load and mm-hmm. with all your NinjaForms add-on, like what kind of percentage are you working on every day? I mean, you got, and then on top of all of that, you got all the speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm. And there's one more. The other thing is I'm writing a book right now, so that's taking up time. I'm doing something else stupid. I'm also in a month-long blogging competition with some of my coworkers, which is really fun, but just really takes a lot of time. So what I usually do is I like to get up early. It hasn't been happening recently, and I work like the first half of my day on WooTheme stuff. And then I have lunch, and then I spend probably like an hour writing a blog post, updating one of my plugins, writing something for my book. So I don't know why I'm just really awake after lunch. So I have lunch, I usually walk to a coffee shop, drink some espresso, and then I do an hour of my own work. And then I finish up my WooThemes work, and then, I don't know, go home, or if I have nothing planned that night and I can work on some technical stuff, I'll do that. The cool thing about, so when I was building the PDF extension for NinjaForms, like that took me 4 months because I was really interested in it for a couple weeks and I worked on it all the time. And then I got, you know, there were some technical issues. It was hard to implement. I didn't work on it for a month or two. And then I looked at it again 2 months later and finished it. You know, there wasn't a schedule on that, so.
Right. So do you have any Ninja Forms add-ons that are in the queue that you're going to release anytime soon?
You know, I don't, and I think that's basically because of this book that I'm writing. Like, this is right now my number one priority, and I'm writing basically a chapter every week and a half, and there's going to be 10 chapters, and it's going to be published, and it's a big process. Like, there's timelines, and yeah, so I've just kind of stopped all my other stuff. I'm going to continue blogging and bug fixes, but yeah, I can't add more Ninja Forms plugins for the next 2-3 months for sure.
Gotcha. And what specifically is the book about?
It's about WooCommerce and how to use it. So, I mean, I take a lot of step-by-step, like, click this, click this, click this, click this, and you're good to go. Which I think is really nice for some, like, people who are just getting started, right? I think it's really nice that they have the step-by-step. And then I also have, like, it has plugins in it. So, like, if you want to know how to add social media icons to your WooCommerce pages, you know, I show you how to add Jetpack, DQ this style, and then NQ this style so that it looks nice.
And when is that scheduled for release?
So I think I'm done writing. All right, done. I think I'm done writing in mid-January. No, I think I'm done, like, I'm probably done at the end of January, I believe. But then it takes a couple months of technical editors to go over it and double check that everything works, and other editors to make sure that it's going to be formatted right and sounds right, whatever editors do, and then published. So probably going to be released in like May or something like that.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And are you going to do the self-publishing route, or are you going to get like...
Good question. So I started the self-publishing route, and I found out that have you ever read Nathan Barry's stuff?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so like you read Nathan Barry's book and you're like, oh my God, I can do this. I can make $1 million. I'll never have to work again. Right. And then you realize that it takes a little bit more work than that. Like the marketing is intensive. Mm-hmm. So I did start my own book. And I was making good progress on it, but then I realized I didn't have anyone in my newsletter, so I stopped it, and I did only marketing, and then I wasn't writing on my book anymore, and then a publisher contacted me and said, hey, do you want to write a book for us? And I said, you know what? I'm too busy right now, writing and marketing. I'm just going to do the writing. You guys do the marketing and take your cut.
Oh, nice. Hey, that's a way to go. Have them come to you.
Yeah, well, I have to say my biggest asset is my blog. Like I have it, like it just instantly, and like for you, like speaking at WordCamps, I just say, look, here's all these presentations I've done, like, and here's all the code that I know how to write, and it's just proof for so many people that you can do what you say you do.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing for like, I know I'm at fault for that as well, is that as a developer, sometimes you get so head down in the code.
Mm-hmm.
You can go like a month or 2 months or even like a year without writing a blog post, and then mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you don't realize when you actually kind of schedule that out. I know that I've had success when I schedule out those blog posts and make sure that I get it going. There's some great feedback that comes through, potential clients, new
people. Totally.
So
definitely. Can I give you a piece of advice for that?
Sure.
Like a year and a half ago, I was writing once a month, and that was, you know, that was good. And then I'm like, I can do a little bit more, and I did it like every other week, and then maybe every once in a while every week. And then someone at my company started a Blogging for Benjamin, which was a month-long blogging competition, and whoever did it all 30 days or 31 days got $100 at the end. And that sounds dumb, like $100 of your time for writing, like spending 30 hours writing is not a good deal. But just that little extra incentive, I wrote every day that month, and I feel like I found my voice, my blogging voice, and now it's really easy to push out a blog post every week.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that kind of like, you know, motivation or tracking. I mean, even Nathan Barry had talked about it too, is that, you know, write 1,000 words or 2,000 words every day, and he wanted to keep that streak going.
Mm-hmm.
I just signed up with well, not just signed up, but a few months ago there was a special on Todoist. They have this, like, it's a just, you know, it's a basic to-do list kind of deal, but they have this thing called Karma, and basically you can kind of set these goals that says, I want to do 5 tasks a day, you know, how many tasks in a week, whatever you want to do, and it's nice because you can actually, at the end of the week, you have a visual graph of how many tasks you did, and it'll tell you how many times you hit your goal, and I don't know. I was thinking about maybe adding that as also for the blogging, you know, because adding that to do. I always have it on the list, and I'll get, like, maybe I'll push one post out a week or something like that, but I'd like it to be a little bit more regular than just the one, but that's a different topic for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been awesome. Some awesome nuggets of information as far as you know, planning plugins, features, those kind of deals, and kind of what kind of the mantras of, you know, kind of keeping it simple, tailoring it to your target audience, and letting those other features that come in from that audience kind of battle it out. So it's kind of refreshing to hear that, you know, some, you know, a company as big as WooThemes, and obviously with the software with WooCommerce, is that they're kind of taking that similar approach too. So is there anything that you kind of wanted to give as far as like a kind of like a golden nugget of information that maybe
you can, oh boy,
a little bit of advice for aspiring plugin developers?
You know, I would always say give people less options than more. I feel like, as I said before, with my own plugins, if it works for 95% of the people, that's probably good enough. Don't ruin the UI, UX for everyone just to get the extra 4%. It's just not worth it.
Awesome. That's great. So where can people reach out to you to say thanks?
So you can definitely hit me up on Twitter. So I'm at B as in boy, F and then trick. That's a long story about why it's that. And then I do have my programming blog, Speaking in Bytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. So I talk a lot about WooCommerce there.
Awesome. Great. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you want to know when the next show is, you can go to the website. That's wpdevtable.com/subscribe. Also, please remember to like, share, subscribe via iTunes and YouTube. And, of course, comment on the site to join in on the discussion. If you're a first-time viewer, then please be sure to catch up on all our past shows. And let's get your dev on. Thanks again, Patrick.
Thank you so much.